Because what we're seeing, ladies and gentlemen, is an alignment taking place in the spirit realm, and now it is being played out in the physical. Let me say that again. There's an alignment taking place in the spirit realm, and it is actually being played out in the physical. Not everybody understands this, but the point is that that's what is taking place. So anyway, what we're seeing, ladies and gentlemen, is things are happening before our very eyes, and it is up to you and I now to understand this. Remember what I said in 2024? We have a new leader. His goal is to hold back the new world order, be an interrupter, so to speak. It is not his job to save America. It's not his job to save the Western world, although it is beneficial if he aligns himself with God. We need to understand the difference. You and I are called, and we should be a part of what God is doing. Very, very important. We are critical. So it is important that we understand this, ladies and gentlemen, understand clearly how things are actually, how it is supposed to work. And so here it is, you and I have a part to play. We are supposed to be witnesses of the Most High God. We are His servants. Now, there are some people who try to do what I call the bare minimum. Okay, you hear me? Okay, some people are trying to do what I call the bare minimum. We're not in that category. We're going to go all out. You know that expression, this school had a slogan on their t-shirt, go hard or go home. The point is that he doesn't want any sluggard around, no slouch, everybody must be involved. Well, it's the same way with the Lord. He says, if you're not going to crucify yourself, you're not worthy of the kingdom. You must die to self, you must live for Jesus. So here we are now, ladies and gentlemen. I just want to bring some statistics to you quickly so you understand what is actually going on. The United States announced yesterday that 5,000 troops are going to be drawn down from Germany. Notice this now. We have 38,000 troops there, and they're going to withdraw 5,000. Eventually, it's going to be totally gone. Same thing's going to happen with Japan. See, America is being shrunk in scope. We're being taken down to size, and a lot of people don't realize it. So they're announcing this because there's a spat going on between Germany and the United States right now. Now, you see, Germany is aligning itself to what? To become the head of the beast power. That's what I said there last week. Remember last week we said they published this article explaining that they are going to be the masters of Europe by 2039. They intend to be dominant in Europe. They're going to be the head honcho. Now, they're not like America. They're not going to rule, what do you call it, with a tender heart. No. You know, a lot of folks used to tell us their experience in as prisoners of war under the Americans. They said they treat us like royalty. We were constantly getting food and cigarettes. Things were so good. We prefer it that way as being a prisoner of war than when we were in the army fighting for our country. They like it that way. It's not going to be that way with Germany. What did they always hear the Germans talk about? What their daily ration should be. Now, when they say half a potato per person, they really meant it. Corn and the cobs split for three people, they really meant it. They are not playing. Those days are coming again. Because they don't have as much and they don't have a heart like we do. But because we have stopped obeying God, we're not serving Him like we should. So that's why they're going to be put in place. Now, what else we need to understand about what is happening? Well, 2 days ago, the 30th of April, it was announced, you can look at, this is international information, you know, it's available on the net. The United States debt has reached 100.2% of GDP, gross domestic product. that's a challenge for any country. Now, folks, you know what Jamaica was like when we reached 65%, how things were tough. Well, what happened when you reach 100%? And besides, America now has the ability to print money. Jamaica didn't. Well, America is going to lose that ability also. But then we're going to start to feel it. And then other nations are going to feel it because America has been printing to give away. One of its foolish ideas we had was that we must always give material things to people as opposed to being a light to them. So that's part of what is going to take place. All right. Now, those two things are in place. And by the way, they're saying by April of 2026, it's going to be our debt is going to be 108% of GDP, and by 2036, it's going to be 120%. Folks, listen, that means we are going to really be in serious trouble. That's what that means. We're going to be really in serious trouble. I don't think a lot of folks really get that, but that's the case. So I want us to understand where things are going with America. That's okay, you put it over there. And so the point here, ladies and gentlemen, is that we are being diminished. We're going down slowly. Now, I'm telling you, if a lot of people in America, if they understood what you and I are seeing now, if they recognize this, would start crash programs right away. Individual families would start make resolution and change things dramatically. A lot of folks grew up on a system that was developed when our blessings were running maximum. That's no longer the case. And so what I'm trying to convey to you and I, you ladies and gentlemen, is that we now are, our days are numbered, so to speak. Now, we're going to look at the scripture in just a minute, but I just thought I'd give you some more of the facts. Now, what else is happening? United States is threatening that they're going to impose 25% more tariff on cars and trucks that are made in Europe that are being sold to America. 25% more. Where is this going to lead us? Where is this trade war going to lead us? It's going to lead to the folks are going to surround America and we're not going to be able to trade like we used to. Those days are going. They're going to be diminishing. So I want you to begin to see what is happening. Without trade, America is going to collapse. We're going to go back to the subsistence days of how things were in colonial times. But let's take it a step further. Because I want us to understand a little more about how things are, why they are that way, what the solution is, how it is going to be remedied. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy. No, not Deuteronomy. Go to the book of Jeremiah, the 50th chapter. I want us to see some things. Jeremiah chapter 50. And we're going to pick up the story really in, pick it up in verse 4. Let's start with verse 4, 50th chapter and verse 4. In those days and at that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together. The children of Israel and the children of Judah. Are they the same people? No. The modern day nation of Israel is primarily the children of Judah. The modern day Israel is represented by two main nations, the British and the Americans, and their derivatives. That's Israel. Most people don't realize that. I am explaining this now. We can prove this at another time. Just take what I'm saying now and you begin to see it falls in line. Now, in Genesis, the, 48th chapter, Joseph, Jacob was about to die. You remember Jacob was the, he had 12 sons, and one of them name was Joseph. Well, Joseph was in Egypt because his brothers got jealous of him because of God was using him. And so they sold him into slavery and he ended up in Egypt, not realizing that God allowed these things to happen. Now, folks, you need to understand that God is working out the whole thing on planet Earth. You not hear so many people talking against the Jews. They're talking about America. They're talking about Kenya. They're talking about Jamaica. They don't really understand. It is our responsibility to tell this old truth and nothing but the truth. What are we supposed to be telling? We're supposed to be telling people about the coming kingdom of God. That's it. Can we solve this problem, the world problem? No. Mr. Trump would like to, but he can't. He's not God. Only Jesus can. There's a spirit realm that they know nothing about. Not many people in the Christian church even understand it, let alone folks who are not Christians. In Genesis, the 48th chapter, it says in verse 15, he blessed Joseph. Who blessed Joseph? God, Jacob. And he said, God before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God who fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. He's blessing Joseph, and yet he says, bless the lads. Who are the lads? He has two sons at that time, Ephraim and Manasseh. So, he's prophesying, and he says, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them. Let the name of Jacob, or Israel, be named on them. Now, everybody is part of Israel, all of those folks. But the birthright or the right of birth is given. By the way, what's a birthright? Well, it's come again, Manhattan, but it's something that you receive because you're born, plain and simple. Being born, birthright, a right of birth. And in God has some rules. And so the birthright is given to the leaders because they're supposed to be taking care of everybody else. That's why the firstborn, they always look to the firstborn. And he, that firstborn now, is supposed to be exercising authority justly. Not unjustly, but justly. So he said, let my name be named on them. So from then on, the angels now, because who's going to enforce this? The angels. God is speaking through him and he's authorizing the angels. From now on, these two boys represent Israel. Good or bad, they represent Israel. All right? And so he says, let my name be named on them and the name of my father, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. So when Joseph saw this, verse 8:17, he laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, because Ephraim is the younger one. He put his right hand on it. He said, no, you shouldn't do it like that. Put your right hand on Manasseh. And him say, I know it, leave it alone, that's okay, because God is the one working this out. He say, leave it alone. He said, let me read what he says. he says, when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put the right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But his truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. So the younger brother now is going to become the multitude of nations. We don't call it multitude anymore. We say the commonwealth of nations. So that's why Britain had the commonwealth. But America was only one single nation, Manasseh. America is the dominant one now, because he was really supposed to be the firstborn. Remember. But what up now? Britain has already collapsed, and so America is going next. And America is going much faster than we expect. Remember now, by 2033, is when they projected that Social Security is going to be bankrupt. All right, it might come before then, but that's the rate we're going. That's what's going to happen. All right, that means a lot of the funds that people depend on is going to not be there. So they might cut it 20-30%. So if you used to get $500 a month and you start to get $200 a month, it make a big difference. There won't be any money. We can't go print anymore. It won't do any good. We can't borrow it. It won't do any good. So these are the things that are taking place. All right, so I want you to see how the alignment is taking place. And so Germany now is saying, we don't like the way you're treating Iran, Persia. Well, they're picking at America now, you see, because they're going to be the ones to fight Iran. They just don't look at it that way yet. But we know what the prophecy says, and we're going to go to the scripture and prove it today. So everybody understands. My point, ladies and gentlemen, is this. We, the church, must understand what our mission is and don't deviate from it. Don't get involved in the politics, otherwise you're going to go astray. Our job is to let our light shine and keep proclaiming the kingdom of God. Are we together on that? So here it is. We see now that those nations are going to be dominant, and God has blessed them, and now we're at the point where he's going to take away the blessing. So he says in verse 4 of Jeremiah, back to Jeremiah chapter 50, in those days and at that time. Now, wait a minute. Stop and think for a minute. Jeremiah, the very first chapter of the book of Jeremiah, has a very interesting statement. I'm going to go back there and read it so that you all get the full gist of what I'm saying. Jeremiah chapter 1. He says, the word of Jeremiah, he says, to whom the word of the Lord came, he says, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, verse 5 of chapter 1, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. He was sanctified before he was born. And I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Before he was born, God says Jeremiah is going to be a prophet to the nations. What nations is he going to prophesy to? Israel and Judah. Israel and Judah. The Bible is a book of Israel. It is about Israel. It only talks about other nations as they relate to Israel. The principle is the same, but you got to use somebody as the guinea pig. Israel is the guinea pig. And so what he's saying is that I ordained him a prophet before he was even born. Then said I, he's speaking of the scene switch, and Jeremiah is speaking, oh Lord God, I cannot speak. For I am a child. When he's little now, you begin to start to hear this. the ministers are telling him, hey, you're going to be a prophet when you grow up. And he said, I can't talk. I'm just a little child. But the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child, for you shall go to all that I shall send you. And whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. Now, listen to what I'm saying to you. What happens if he decides he's not going to go? He's going to get a Jonah experience, wouldn't he? See, God, no, he's having up sense, so he knows he's going to go. Jonah didn't get it, so Jonah got a free fish ride back. After a few days in the fish belly, and he burped up himself on the shore, because that's what the fish do, just vomit him up on the shore, and he wash off himself, and get up and go do what he's supposed to do. When God called you, you must pay attention. You must obey. Jeremiah understood that. He said, be not afraid. God is speaking to him. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. So you're going to go boldly. I am with you. When we were little, my mom sent my sister down to this place called George North. It's a little bit past Spalding. We used to hear about those people. Oh, they were fierce and willing to just fight folks for nothing. My mom sent her down there and said, don't be afraid of them. You just go where I tell you. And anybody say anything to you, just let us know. People, when she was walking, she'd tell us, she'd come back, she said, a lot of people are looking at her. And she hear folks saying, you better not touch that lady. So it's apparently it was their attitude to do stuff like that. But folks were warning them, you know who those people are? Those are the Browns. You better not touch them. You better not touch them. She went and did what she was doing and come back. She said, not a person on the street say a word to her. Well, that's what God is saying to Jeremiah. You're going to go where I send you. Now, Jeremiah was sent to Israel. But Israel was already taken captive 100 plus years ago. Remember, they were taken captive by Assyria. And so here comes Jeremiah now, and yet he's a prophet to Israel. How is he a prophet to Israel then? Did God make a mistake? No. It was prophesied, and they are getting it today. So from then on, they were just getting it through prophecy. That's how they were getting it. So when you hear Daniel say, I'm reading the words of Jeremiah, it is going to Israel. It is going to Judah. So that's how it actually works, and it is working that way today. Now, continue along that line, because God don't make any mistake. He says in verse 4 again of Jeremiah 50, in those days and at that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, that's them, they're fighting Iran together, represented by who? America this time. Britain, you know, is already collapsing. They can't do much. So here it is. He's coming, and he says, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Lord their God. So here it is. The British, the Canadians, the Australians, the New Zealanders, South Africans, the Jews over in Israel, going to come weeping and crying, I'm talking about the whole nation, seeking God. What happened? If everybody in America today, because, you know, we have a lot of people now, but let's say you had a third of the population, which is approximately what you're going to have left, and they're there seeking, and everybody's saying, listen, we need to go to church. Let's go every day. They want to go to church. Let me give you an example. There's a fella. Years ago, I used to tell him about the Bible and tell him about the plain truth, and he wouldn't pay attention. He went and joined the army. He's from Jamaica. He used to treat me very good, but he never was ever interested in the Bible. Well, he guessed something that after a while, he came out of the army. And somehow he became a Buddhist, and then he leave it and become some other religion. And he realized that it wasn't any good. And somebody tell him about the Bible. And he start to, you know, read and go to church. And he heard, you know, the word got to me where he was. So he said, let me go look him out. And when I went to go see him, he says, Man, glad to see you. Shake my hand. And he said, but I can't stop. I'm going to church right now. I'm going to church every day. And I said, what happened, man? He said, I can't talk now. I'll talk with you later. He said, I'm making up for lost time. He said, all those dimes you used to tell me about, the plane trip and so on, I should have been paying attention, but I didn't. And he just jumped in his car and left. He was going to church every day. Every day. He was claiming he was trying to make up for lost time. Now, you know you can't do that. Once you lose time, it's gone. But here it is, he was there making up for lost time. Well, that's what happened to America now, and Britain and Canada. Everybody's going to start to make up for lost time. So they're going to come weeping and go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion, which is the church, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. So they're now saying they're going to join themselves to God in a covenant that is not going to be forgotten. Now, look at what used to happen before. People were just living like the devil, doing whatever they want to do, decide they're not going to obey God and obey the Bible or nothing like that. But something happened to them that caused them all of a sudden now to decide that they're going to seek the Lord. Well, you know what it is. After we get spanked with nuclear weapons, see, a lot of people are realizing, you know, Jamaica is a blessed country. Jamaica is a blessed country. But not everybody in Jamaica is seeking God. The vast majority are not. So those who are seeking God is going to have to endure while God spanks the rest of the people. Most of them are going to die. Same here in America. So here it is, they're going to come seeking the Lord, and they're going to ask the way to Zion, and they're going to say, we're going to make an agreement with God, which shall not be forgotten. So God saw what was happening now. By the way, this is after the great tribulation. He says, my people have been lost sheep. He's talking about the people. There's no reason for anybody in America to be lost. We all have access to the Bible, access to the church, freedom of religion, and yet we're lost. Why? Listen to what he says. My people had been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. You mean the ministers who keep walking around wearing a collar, praying and talking like they know God? They cause the people. Yes, they are causing the people to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. In other words, things are not working out. That's what's going to happen. This is the destiny. I'm telling you, this is what is happening. We're seeing the alignment. I just told you, the 100.2% as of April 30th, the U.S. debt to GDP ratio. And it's going to continue. And the economists are saying we're not going to be able to pay this off in 100 years, even if we have 6% growth every year, which we're never going to have. People struggle, nations struggle to have 3% growth. What is Germany said there last week about, actually, yes, 2 weeks now about Iran, about America? America is being humiliated by Iran. You know what they mean by that. We struggled to fight them and use up most of our weapons, and they're still there. And they're going to still be there. I'll show you why. So Mr. Trump is getting bad advice from the wrong, you know, from people who don't know what they're talking about. There are people who misunderstand the status of America, not realizing God is not giving us the breaks that he used to anymore. Why? Because we no longer serve God as a nation that believes that God is the one who grants us this power. And so he says, I'm going to break the pride of your power. And that's what is happening. So what I'm telling you now is that the record is, and if you've been listening to the weekly teachings, I keep us up to date, those listening to the weekly teaching or Sounds of Revival, you know, I've been covering this. I can't do it every week, but it is imperative that we understand these things. Today, I'm going to recommend that everybody go back to the book of Daniel and read all the chapters one by one and ask God to tell you, give you insights as to what is going on, because they're being fulfilled. So this is what I'm trying to share with you now, so as to make sure you understand. Now, in Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, I just told you, here it is, we have stuff coming. And Jeremiah chapter 30, God is going to is making a statement to his prophet, to Israel. Remember Israel? Well, they're supposed to get it, but here it is now. Israel is, you know, was taken captive, so they can't get it now by reading the Bible. Verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus speak the Lord God of Israel. Didn't say Judah, he said Israel. Saying, write the words that I have spoken, I've spoken unto you in a book. What kind of book you have it today? The Bible. For look, the days come, says the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah. So what I'm saying to you, we're not wishing this. Whether Mr. Trump or Miss Kamala was up there, it doesn't matter. The nation is going into captivity. Why? Because God's purpose is going to work out. And it's going to happen. It is just for matter who's going to be on the team and how bad this spanking is going to be. That's it. So he says, I bring again the captive my people, Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. The land in the Middle East, God is going to eventually give it to all of them. The piece that of real estate that Israel have now, God is the one who gave it to them. I know a lot of people don't like this because they think the Palestinians deserve it. No, they're going to get somewhere else. God determined long ago who's going to get that area. No, the people, you know, you have a lot of people like to argue with God. I'm not going to take no sides to that. That's foolish. There is no wisdom or counsel against God. He says, by the way, they're going to end up trying to divide the nation of Israel. And at that point, God is going to step in. I'm talking about in a few years down the road. You'll see. These are the words that... Verse 4, these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus says the Lord, but again, Judah is what? Modern day Israel, the nation of Israel. But the nation, the Israel here in the Bible is United States and Britain, the British people. What about the Dutch and so on? They're part of it too, but the dominant ones were the two brothers, Ephraim and Manasseh. We just read that earlier in Genesis 48:16. All right? So, he says, I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to them. That's verse 3, verse 4. These are the words God spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Wait a minute now. What did they say the other day about America's military? Ain't nobody can stop us. Well, here it is. The Bible says, we have heard a voice of trembling, a voice of fear, and not peace. Ask, see whether a man does travail with child. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loin as a woman in travail? All faces are turned to paleness. You know, a lot of black people, I can tell me, well, you know, we are the real Israelites. Are your faces ever turned pale? They use that expression, but they don't. It is for real. Their face is going to really turn pale. Alas, verse 7. What does alas mean? It's an expression. Oh, pay attention. Look. Yes, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. Now, we talk about the great tribulation. And he said, there is none like it. Obviously, it is during the Great Tribulation also. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. Did you remember we say who Jacob was again? But he shall be saved out of it. So God is going to come and rescue us after we get captive, become captive of other nations. For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, verse 8, that I'll break his yoke from off your neck, and I'll burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. He says he's going to break the yoke that is on us. Who's going to put the yoke on us? The New World Order led by the Germans? Because we won't serve God? That's what's going to happen. They're talking like that already. Remember now, they're saying, you know, they're going to have their own nuclear weapons. They said by 2039, they're going to dominate or take over Europe. And they're arguing with Americans, they take your troops home now. So we're taking over 5,000. Between in the next 6 to 12 months, we said we'll get them out. We're not going to have the money to pay them, by the way, pretty soon at the rate we're going. This is what I'm trying to show you. You know, we haven't seen anything yet. Things are pretty good because money is still flowing. But it is drying up. And people are not seeing because the preachers are not preaching this. For it shall come to pass in that day that I'll say, Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off their neck, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. How is that happening? How are strangers serving themselves of America today? Well, it's not just the welfare stuff, is that stuff that's petty. They're doing a lot of other things. But we are foolishly giving away a lot of money. A lot of the debt we have, we borrowed the money to give it away. We were told that we need to give to these people. They don't have much. And so we were doing that. We didn't encourage them to develop themselves. And so now they are still anathema from us. And besides, we have the debt and we're paying the interest on it. And we're borrowing it from who? Our enemies. The whole thing is upside down. So God said, I'm going to put a hand to all that. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up. So God says, when they come now, because they their own heart earlier, as we read in Jeremiah 50, they're going to say, we're going to turn to God. That is going to be a fantastic time when all the nations turn to God. A wonderful time. But before that, we got nothing but trouble and tribulation coming towards us. Now, let's take it a step further. Because I want us to begin to see something else. How did we manage to get into this position in the first place anyway? Don't we have churches in America? Don't we have leaders who really want to, you know, lead us in the right direction? Take care of, how do we manage to get this? We have preachers who are constantly preaching. We have more Bibles than any other nation on earth. We'll go to the book of Amos. The seventh chapter. This happened before. It's going to happen again. What did Ecclesiastes say? There is no new thing under the sun. That which has been is that which shall be. Why? Because we think we have ideas in our head. It comes from the spirit realm. The ideas you have come from the spirit realm. It's either the spirit of God directing you or the spirit of this world. Most people don't realize that. That's how it is. When Paul said, inventors of evil things, which spirit is allowing them to develop that? The devil. People don't realize it. So here it is in Amos chapter 7. The Lord is measuring the church in America, but it also is measuring America, because America... We're going to see our iniquity is not yet full, but we are approaching it. You know what I mean when I say iniquity? The amount of serious sins that the nation has accumulated, God will allow us to sin to a certain point where he decides, okay, no more, that's too much. So ours is not really full yet. The Amorites and the Canaanites and the Jebusites and what all the other Canaanites that we had in the Promised Land, they sinned so much that God decided 400 plus years before they were losing their land that they're going to lose it permanently. He said, I'm going to take it away from them and give it to the children of Israel. He says their sin has not, because what he told Abraham, he said, their sin not come to the full yet. God is fair to everybody. And you know, few folks somehow can't get it. They think God is being unfair to the beat up that America is giving to Iran now. They don't realize all the sin that Iran has been committing. All them little boys that they're killing because they say they're Christian. 10 years old, they hang them publicly. Wherever else you see anybody keep saying they're going to kill little kids because they claim they believe in God or they heard from God. But they did stuff like that. Same thing to the women. And somehow they think, no, yes, it is true that they people are doing injustice to the nation, but it is true that they are living a very devious life. And people don't want to see that. But let's read on a little further. In the book of Amos, the Lord is putting a plumb line in the nation. Now, notice now, this is Israel before they get into captivity. This is the nation of Israel. Remember, they were two nations, Israel and Judah. Northern nation, the southern nation. The southern nation is Judah. The northern nation is Israel. All right? That's how the nation is divided because of the civil war. And so, what happened is that God is saying to this, the Lord took a plumb line and means you're going to pluck to see if things are, you know, upright, you know, according to the line of gravity so it won't fall down. And the Lord said unto Amos, verse 8, you see this? He come with a plumb line and he said, hey, Amos, you see this? And I said, a plumb line. He said, what are you seeing? He said, I see a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I'll set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not pass by them anymore. So God is saying now, at a certain point, I am no longer going to give these people any more warning. I'm going to measure up, realize that they don't reach that the right point. And this is the last warning that they're going to get, and it is over. America is going to get one more warning before it's over, but it's going to come. Now, I hear quite a few people in Pratt Brother Stephen say he might be have to go up there and give a warning. Well, we'll see. I don't know. The Lord might move him. Everybody is telling what they're going to, but you see the folks, not everybody understand what the Bible is teaching, so some people need to really stay home. But you hear what I'm saying. I want you to begin to see what is happening. So he says, I'll set a plumb line in the midst of my people, Israel, and I will not again pass by them anymore. So he's going to do it one more time. And verse 9 says, and the high places of Isaac, we call them, what did President Trump say about America? They are the Anglo-Saxons. He is correct. They're the son. Anglo-Saxon is a term for the sons of Isaac. Well, here it is, he's speaking of them. He said, the high places of Isaac, or the Saxons, shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will also rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. So here it is, he's going to come against the leader, and in this case, he's going to come against America also, which is Mr. Trump in this case, because other people are going to want to take us on. Until he leave office. Remember now, he comes after the office. All right, so he can leave and it still happen. Okay? So verse 10 says, then Amaziah the priest, you know, you always have a super preacher who think they know. The Amaziah the priest of Bethel, which was the capital, well, really, it wasn't the capital. Samaria was the capital, but it was one of the prominent city, just like how you have in Jamaica, you have Kingston and Montego Bay. Some people think Montego Bay is the capital. No, it's not. Bethel is like Montego Bay. Samaria was Kingston. That's the capital. And so the Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos had conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. In other words, in the land. The land is not able to bear all his words. What was he telling them to do? Repent. Turn to God. Stop believing that you, because you're wealthy, everything is fine. Because you don't realize you're on borrowed money. That's what they're saying now. The ministers are supposed to be saying now to America, but we're not telling them that. We're telling them, talking as if everything's going to be fine and dandy. And they talk about who's going to get what when they run for office and what they're going to try to institute when they get in there, not realizing the seriousness of it. But anyway, let's press on. Time is going against us. So he says, for verse 11, for thus Amos says, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive into their, out of their own land. Now, if I go up to Washington, D.C. and tell people this, you probably won't see me no more. Because they're not going to want to hear this. Do you hear they talk about their leader? They're not going to hear this. But I'm telling you what is coming. And so verse 12 also, Amaziah said unto Amos, so this super preacher now, you know, this bishop, archbishop, I guess you would say, he said, oh, you seer, or you prophet, you know, seer was the old word for prophet, go flee to the land of Judah. In other words, go back to where you come from, go back to your little church, and you eat bread there and prophesy there. Don't come over here and prophesy to us. I mean, he's so arrogant. Don't come prophesy to us. The man said, this is what God says. And they're saying, don't come prophesy to us. But they prophesy not again anymore at Bethel or Montego Bay, you might say. For it is the king's chapel and it is the king's court. Don't prophesy here where the president set up his house of whatever it is. Don't come prophesy here. Because you're not saying the type of things we want to hear. That's what they're implying. So he said, then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was a prophet. I was not a prophet, neither was I a prophet's son. But I was a herdsman and I gathered of the sycamore fruit, and the Lord took me as I followed the flock and said, hey, go give my people Israel, prophesy unto them. That's what it says in the last clause of verse 15. So that's what God did. That's what God is doing today. Now, you and I need to know these things. Now, how does this work, ladies and gentlemen? How does this work? Well, I want us to go to the book of Daniel quickly, and I might have to go over a little, folks, but I hope y'all don't mind. But let me go to the book of Daniel, chapter 8, because I have a lot of information. My Lord, this is a lot of information. But I want us to see something. I'm going to have to skip some verses, so I'm going to suggest that you read these verses thoroughly, because it's a lot of information, folks. If you're one of those persons who are listening for the very first time, tune in to the broadcast on a regular basis. Go to the archives and listen to as many of these. And if you have any questions, let us know. Because it's a lot of information that we have to cover. Chapter 8 of Book of Daniel, verse 1 says, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me. So this is Daniel speaking now. You know, it has been established that they were taken captive by Judah, by Babylon. They're taking the nobles there, and they carry Daniel there, and he found favor with God, Nebuchadnezzar, and who was king. And so Nebuchadnezzar passed on, and now his son Belshazzar is king. And he says, in the third year of the reign, there appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in a vision I was by the river Ulai. All right, let me see. I was by the river Ulai. Then I lifted up my eyes and I saw, verse 3, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns. You know, a ram, a male goat, he has two horns. But one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. So the taller horn come up last, but he had two horns. And verse 4 says, I saw the ram push westward and northward, southward, and so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to what everyone. So he just become, you know, great, and he just take over. All right? That's that's the ram. And as when he was looking at it, he says, I consider a he-goat came from the west. So this was another he-goat, another goat, really. And it could really be like a sheep, you know, but anyway. A he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth, not touching the ground. So he was like flying. To jump that far, meaning that he has a lot of power, and he was going so fast. So he come from the east, from the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. There was a special horn right between his eyes. That horn means what? It means authority. It means leadership. You may remember that. So verse 6 says, and he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river. And he ran into him with a fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler, now with a lot of power, against him, and smote the ram and broke his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. In other words, he just come and destroy this ram. Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones towards the four winds of heaven. All right? Now, we have covered this before, but we're going to just make sure we give you the understanding. Out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great towards the south and towards the east and towards the pleasant land. So what happens is this. It divides up into four. This little horn is a different empire, so to speak. And he died suddenly, which is Alexander. The horn really is Alexander the Great. And he died quickly. He didn't die. He didn't last too long. He was like 31 or something like that when he died. I mean, he spent most of his adult life fighting, and he didn't take long to just come knock over Persia and Iran, as we call them today, and he just take over. But I'm reading this for you to see what is happening to Iran, so you understand what is happening today. Very important. That's why I'm taking the time to touch this. It went even to the host of heaven. It cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and trampled upon them. That's the special horn, which is Greece. Yes, he magnified himself even to the prince of host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. So this one now come with really what I call a strange religion too. But he was so aggressive and arrogant that he decided he'd take on even Jesus. And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. It cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. So here it is, he had power to take over. Now, what is going to happen, by the way, this is going to happen again, where they're going to set up right there in Europe, in Jerusalem, where they're going to offer sacrifices again, because the Jews are convinced that they need to. So God is saying, yes, I'm going to allow that to happen. But what happens is that the Romans, who are the ones really in charge now, the scene here, because what you're going to find, ladies and gentlemen, is that the Roman Empire consumed what? Greece. Greece consumed what? Persia and Media. Persia and Media consume what? Babylon. The vision start when Belshazzar was in Babylon. That's where the vision start. Belshazzar was Nebuchadnezzar's son. And so he's looking at this, and so this is bringing us all back together. What I'm trying to explain, please don't miss this, whenever an empire take over from this, the Bible is describing here, it assumes the responsibility of those that were before it, and then it contributes its own also. So they keep adding on. So all of these are going to be around during the end times. So that's what it is saying now, that I heard, verse 13 of Daniel 8, I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto the certain saint, how long shall the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to trodden underfoot, how long is that going to take? And he said, unto 1,260 days. 1,260 days, which is what we call 1,260 days, which is the length of time for the tribulation. Are you with me? All right. Yes. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And it came to pass, when I, Daniel, seen the vision and sought the meaning, behold, there stood before me the appearance of a man. I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which is called, which called and said, Gabriel, go make this man understand the vision. So he came near where I was standing, and when he came, I was afraid, and he fell on the ground, and then nowadays you'd say they pass out, but that's what happened. So anyway, he was telling the story so that we can get it, okay? Now, as he was speaking, verse 18, with me, I was in deep sleep on my face towards the ground. He wasn't really asleep. The point is that he had fallen under the inspiration of the power of the Spirit, and that's what happened. And so verse 19 says, and he said, behold, I will make you know what shall be in the last end of indignation, for the time appointed the end shall be. This is going to happen in the future. That's what he was pointing out. Now, a lot of people don't understand this and realize there's a lot of spiritual war going inside here. Mr. Trump is, if you listen to him, he doesn't really want to be over there. But he don't have no choice because he makes certain decisions because these things are going to happen. If Mr. Trump was in office, somebody else would do the same thing. I don't think people understand this now. The spirit forces behind the scene are the one governing these things. That's why you and I have to make sure we're governed by a different spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. All right? Continue. Verse 20 says, the ram which you saw having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. If you go back and look at chapter 7, it tells you already who they were. But he's giving you more information. They are the kings of Media and Persia. So when Darius the Mede in chapter 6 take over the empire from Babylon, he was the second stage now from Babylon. Remember now, Belshazzar had the big party where you have all them wine and stuff drinking, and the writing was on the wall. And that night he was delivered. They overthrew him, and he got killed that night. And so Darius the Mede took over, being 62 years old, about 62 years old, it says. And so the Medes take over. Well, this now goes right in the story and says, the ram represents the two horns. And the ram with the two horns, one of them is the king of Media. And then later, among them grow up the Persians, which become dominant because of their culture, and they are still around to this day. But what happened to them? Well, let's read on. The rough goat is the king of Greece, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. That's Alexander the Great. Now, that being broken, the four stood up for it. So when he died, that's Alexander died, stood up for it. Let's back up verse 22. Now, that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, Four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in its power. Why is this? Because Satan the devil now is, you know, they're going to fight among each other. Which are we really supposed to be representing him? And they couldn't agree, so they decide, let's divide up the kingdom into the four top generals. And that's how they set it up. If you go back and study it, by the way, we covered this about 3 years ago. I think we still have the recordings. But the point was that the southern kingdom became very dominant. And from then on, now what I'm trying to establish now is the king of the north and the king of the south. So this one now is the king of the south. There's going to be a north, which later on is going to be shifted and go to Germany. But I want you to notice the difference now. So let's read on, and then we're going to have to stop right here. So in the latter time, let's pick up verse 22 again. Now, that being broken, that's Alexander, the four stood up for it. Four kingdoms shall stand out of the nation, but not in its power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, in their latter time of their kingdom. I thought they were taken over by Rome. Yes. But the spirit that governed them is still going to be around. And so they are going to be exercising a certain influence in this time. This strange religion that Iran has been around a long time. People don't realize it. And so what is happening is that he says, in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are to come to the full. So there's going to be transgressors now going to come to the full. It's not just their transgression of America and so on. Because God, remember, now is going to execute judgment through these people eventually. So the transgressors have come to the full. A king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentence shall stand up. This happened before and it's going to happen again. Who's this king of fierce countenance? That's going to be the beast power. But this also happened, I forget his name, Seleucus Caesar, something like that. I'll have to look up his name. It's in my notes. He shall stand up. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Why? Because he's getting power from the devil. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy and also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. He's going to stand up against God. That's the Antichrist right here. Against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. He can't handle Jesus. So he's going to stand up. Now, what I'm saying, you know, notice now, he's coming up out of where? Persia. Then he comes, the same spirit now come on to the Greece. And so they take on the same thing. That's what is over there now. A lot of people not getting it. And so he says, the vision on the evening, verse 26 of Daniel 8, the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true, wherefore shut thou the vision, for it shall be for many days. It is not for the days of Daniel or back in that Old Testament time. It is for us nowadays. And I, Daniel, fainted, and I was sick certain days. Afterwards, I rose up and did the king's business. I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. He didn't understand it. Now, let's go to chapter 10. I'll pick up a few verses quickly because I want to cement something here. Yes, Daniel chapter 10. Who's going to take over from Media? Persia. Modern-day Iran. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar. The thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. So here it is. He's seen this. He's now reigning, you know, under Belshazzar also. You know, under Cyrus. He was under Darius, and then here Darius got overthrown, and so Cyrus now ruling, and they still put Daniel in position, because once God elevates you, see, nobody can stop you. That's the thing. So here it is now. He's getting the vision. He's writing it, but he says for way in the future. But yet it is about Persia. It is for our day. When you study it carefully, you will see. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks, and I ate no pleasant bread. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. So he had what I call a Daniel fast. And the 24th day of the first month, as I was in my side of the great river, Edekel, I lifted up my eyes and I looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold and ephod. His body was also like the beryl. His face and appeared of lightning, and so on. It looked like the Lord. Therefore, I was left alone. He saw this thing there. Verse 8 says, therefore, I was left alone. Why? Because verse 7 says, I, Daniel, alone saw this vision. Now, the other people were there in him. It's just like he's in church, and he's the only one who sees it. Well, why is this? He says, a great quake fell upon them, so that they fled and hid themselves. That's verse 7. So they went into hiding. But no, verse 8 says, therefore, I was left alone, and I saw the great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned me into corruption, and I retained no strength. In other words, his foot got so weak, he just fell, and he just, as if he passed out. But anyway, then what happened is that the angel now started to speak with him. He touched him, verse 10, and he said unto me, verse 11, great Daniel, greatly beloved, understand the word that I speak unto you. Stand upright, because I'm going to tell you what it means. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day you started praying, I was sent. Verse 12, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set their heart to understand and to be chastened before your God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, what is this? This is a demon spirit. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, come to help me, and I remain there with the king of Persia. Now I am come to make you understand what shall befall your people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. So in the latter days, now this is going to happen to who? The Jews in the latter days. That fighting is still going on in the spirit realm. People don't understand it. Are the Jews perfect? No. Are they still making mistakes? Yes. But I need you to understand what is going on. There's a lot of fighting taking place, and a lot of folks not understanding that. So when he had spoken such words, verse 15 of Daniel 10, I set my face towards the ground, and I became dumb. Behold, one like the son, the similitude of a son of man touched my lips, that's like Jesus. When I opened my mouth and spoke, he said unto me, to him that stood before him, O my Lord, by the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? So how can I talk with you? Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. That's verse 19. Peace be unto you. Be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. And he said, let my Lord speak for you, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, in the prince of Grecia shall come. So what is happening is now that there's a lot of fighting in the spirit realm between the prince of Persia, God's people, and the prince of Grecia, which later on you're going to find out is really the same prince that is ruling over Germany. Because you see, it's going to be the northern house. So I'm going to have to come back and do justice and explain the north and the south to us again. So the prince of Greece is going to come, but I'll show you that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that hold with me in these things by Michael your prince. Also, I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm, to strengthen him. Now, I'm looking to switch the story to Darius the Mede. Darius already gone. Yeah, yes, but he's coming back now and giving us additional information, just like I'm doing it now, so you understand more clearly. Also, he's saying this, so I'm touching this now, so you understand. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand yet up three kings in Persia. The fourth shall be far richer than all, and by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Greece. So he go back and he go right back now and explain what happened, why Persia collapsed as an empire, and Greece took over. Now, if you go back to chapter 7, you have to read these things over and over to get the full picture. If you go back to chapter 7, you find out that Babylon was taken over by Media-Persia. Media-Persia was taken over by Greece, which is what he just said a while ago again. And then after that, Greece was taken over by an empire which is totally different from all the others. That's the Roman Empire. But those pure spirits still exist, and they're still hanging around fighting and carrying on now in these latter days. So when you go back to chapter 11 and read some more about this, you're going to find that there's going to be a war between Iran or Persia and Germany. At the moment, Germany now is in the realm now. In 2026, Germany is getting irritated with America. And they say, you're not treating Iran fairly. We're going to go over there and take a look. I say, Germany want to be in charge. We're going to do it. And then when they go now, they're going to find out that, hey, these guys are really not like us. And so the Bible says the king of the south, which is Persia, is going to come against the king of the north, which is Germany. Now, Germany, is taking up for them now, but they don't even care about stuff like that because they want Allah to rule. You know, Allah is a demon. And so he's not going to really rule ever. Yeah, he dominates some areas for part of, the Muslim world and so on. But until God drive him out, it's not time yet. So the point, though, is this. This is what you see taking up place. And so what I'm saying, though, the title of this message today is The Alignment of Nations. So you see all these nations are being aligned now. You see where America is going, where we're losing our money, and we're spending all our weapons, and other nations are ganging up against us, and we are not planning wisely. The people inside the country are giving up on God and doing whatever seems right to them. The other English press of the English-speaking countries, all they keep talking about is party and where they're going to go to party, and you listen to the average person. Very few people here. It's Pentecost coming up. And what are people talking about? What's the question they ask us constantly? What are you doing this weekend? What's that sign? We're going to have to get away. And so people, that's what folks are focusing on. And even people in the church, instead of spending more time with God, and they would have been able to enjoy themselves even better, they're trying to fit in with those folks. I asked a simple question earlier. Are we able to handle the little test that comes before? What about test of the Sabbath? Something as simple as that. What about telling lies or tithes and offering? I mean, these are fundamentals, Stewardship, stuff like that. And so we begin to find, ladies and gentlemen, that all these things are happening and things are going to turn out exactly the way God said it should, because that is what he has purposed. And so God's way is going to come out in the end. So last week we were saying we're going to give the big picture this week. I didn't plan to go in this direction, but the information was so overwhelming. I had to skip a lot of it today. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, things are moving quickly. By 2031, America will not be able to stand up against Germany. By 2036, we're going to be in serious trouble financially, if not before. By 2039, we may just very have the Third World War starting again, 100 years after after the last World War. That's really what's going to happen. A lot of folks are there paying attention to Mr. Putin and so on. Yes, they're gonna, he's gonna be reduced for the time being, but later on he sees cunning. The spirit that he leads over them is cunning, and they're gonna come later for a different purpose. They're not gonna get the power that they expect. Don't expect to live no them to you see their nation having what they call bountiful life like America. Nobody will ever reach that standard of living anymore until Jesus comes and set up the kingdom. But this is the way things are, and we see the nations now are aligning, and it is up to us now as individuals to make sure we do what? Work while it is day. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in the next lesson.